A few words of introduction to Perek Ben Sora Mora. We started off, you guys all saw the Mishnah. How far have you gotten in the Gemara, by the way? Anybody get far?
We've got a little bit past the Tumas.
Okay, good. If you finish the Mara Makomos, so, you know, just go on in the Gemara. We're going to be spending some time on the big Tosos here, Katan. It's a very important Shas Tosos, so we will be spending a decent amount of time on it. Depending on how bogged down we get on a given day, we'll figure out how long we're planning on spending on it. So we'll play that by ear. So if you get bored on a given day, spend time in this Tosfos. Okay, it's a very long and important Tosfos. And when you're done with the Tosfos, do it again. And then when you're done, and if, obviously look up every Gemara inside. And whenever you see in the parentheses Visham, it means there's a Tosfos there, a parallel Tosfos you should be looking up as well. So, you know, try that.
The great about him is Kiddushin that find out is like imagining like you promise something.
Oh, okay. We got our first typo.
It's half code to that, but you don't get anything from that.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Okay. So.
Kiddushin, where does Kiddushin ein dal on that between you promise something? Like last three like that.
Okay. So, for starters, where does this parak come from? So, if you saw the Rashi, right? So you saw the Rashi, the Ramaslam and Sora Mora, right? Seder Niskalin, the Tanya Bepirkin Le'el, so he quotes the Gemara earlier on Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, we just take a look at it for 1 second, even though it's just a one-liner, but it's Kedai. Take a look at the Gemara. Eluena Niskalin, right? The Mishnah says the following people get skila. Right? Perik Dalad Misos, also known sometimes as Perik HaNiskalin, right? Because the other types of Misa got their own prakim. So skila didn't get its own perik. So they sometimes call Perik Dalad Misos, Perik HaNiskalin, or at least this Mishnah is Eluena Niskalin. So Habal, and it goes through all of the cases, and then finally, it gets to, right after Vahamechashev, it says, Uben Sora Umora. Okay. So it just makes the list of those individuals who get skila. So Rashi said, right, Seder Niskal, Natanya Perkin de la'el, Messiah Hilchosava Ozil. So we're just finishing off the halachos of skila. So we got to describe all of the other cases in the previous Mishnayos. And therefore, we don't have to have a whole parak about them, but we decided to continue with the inyan of Ben Sora Mora. And if you guys got a chance to see the Meiri, so what does the Meiri say about that? What? You guys saw the Meiri on this? What? Right, meaning it's a continuation of that Mishnah. So, okay, so there's a lot of things. How come they got their own parak then?
There's a lot of tangential.
Right, because, right, so he says, because there's Hilchasa Merubin. Right, there are a lot of details as you may have seen already, and as you shall see, a lot of details go into what makes an individual into a Ben Sora Mora. And therefore, the Miri says, that's why we got an entire parak called Ben Sora Mora. But, Lamaisa, there aren't enough details about a Ben Sora Mora to make up an entire parak. So, when you get later to the Mishnah that says, you get to the Mishnah on Daf Ayin, where is it? Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis on the bottom. When you get to the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, it says Ben Soro Mora Nidon Al Shem Sofo Yom Zakai Va'al Yom Eschayiv. And then they get off on a little bit of a Musarvort, right? We'll talk more about that later. So the Ben Soro Mora is not considered to be killed for what he did now. Somehow we'll have to discuss at length what this means. Nidon Al Shem Sofo. But he's killed because of what he will do in the future, and therefore we want to let him die now while he is still innocent, rather than waiting till he's guilty and killing him then. Right? Because Misashin shall rishon hanolem vanola olam, but tzadikim ralem varala olam. So it's very interesting, by the way. I don't want to spend any time on this really. I just want to point out the ha'ara. The flow doesn't seem to make sense in the Mishnah. Right? What does it say? Yomus zakai va'al yomus chayiv. Shemisasan shel rishoim hanolehem va'anol olam. We don't want him to die when he is guilty because the misa of rishoim is hanoah for them. So it sounds like we would want him to die when he's a Rasha. Is he a Rasha now or is he a Tzaddik now? So if he's a Tzaddik now, the next line is, Letzadikim Ralem Ralem. If he's still a Tzaddik, he's just a future Rasha. So isn't the killing him now something bad for him? Right? Okay, there's a very simple way to read it to give the answer, and you know we'll deal with that. You know, you could figure it out yourself. Just think about it if you have some free time to think. Okay, so then we said that Ben Sora Mor is Nidon al Shem Sofo. So what's the next Mishnah on Ayin Beis? Totally new topic. And this is the more fun topic in the 8th parak. We'll probably spend more time on you know, from Ayin Beis and onward than we will up until Ayin Beis, which is a little bit technical and get bogged down with things. You know, I think once we end off the Mishnah of Katan, the Tosos of Katan, we'll probably skip somewhere around Ayin Beis. You know, we'll work on Ayin Beis till the end from there. So it starts off Habab Machteris Nidon Hashem Sofo. Right, starts off the topic of Baba Machteris, which is you know the precursor to the sugya of the next Mishnah on Ayin Gimel and Aleph, which is basically the sugya of Rodef. Right, the Elu Ayin Gimel and Aleph. The Mishnah starts off the Elu Hein Shematzilin Osan Benafshon, and these are the people that you can kill them in order to stop them. Right, so then we get into general cases of Rodef. So Baba Machteris is the original Rodef. And then we just deal with all of the cases of Rodef, and then eventually we make our way into all the details of that sugya, and that's the end of the parak. So the Meiri basically points out Ben Sora Mora is an expansion on the Mishnah of Elohein on the Skullin. Since Ben Sora Mora has got a lot of its own halachos, so we decided to expound upon those halachos in its separate parak. And then, once we got through the concept of Ensorim or Nidon Hashem Sofo, let's talk about the other people who are Nidon Hashem Sofon, which are the Baba Machteris, and then once we talk about Baba Machteris, we may as well talk about Rodef in general, because, you know, the Sof of the Baba Machteris is that he might be a Rodef. So once we talk about that, so that's the logical flow that exists throughout the parak, according to the Meiri. I can't imagine anybody argues on that. It's pretty straightforward logic, so we'll go with the Meiri in terms of that. Okay, so that's the introduction to the why the Perek is here and what we do in the Mishnayos of the Perek. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Azhara for Ben Sora Mora. Where in the Torah are we told, don't be a Ben Sora Mora? Now, who cares? Who cares? Why do we need an Azhara, guys? What? You can't give an onish, right? The very important concept, ein onshin elem kein mazirin. Ein onshin elem kein mazirin. Meaning, you know, standard case is, your kid does something wrong, he gets a punishment, and he complains. He says, no one ever told me this was wrong. No one ever said, don't do this. Right? That's the idea. The Torah says, lahavdil, ein onshin elem kein mazirin, meaning, in order to actually give an onish, it doesn't mean that you don't need to refrain from the activity. There are plenty of activities that you can know that you're supposed to refrain from, even if there's no azhara b'feirish in the Torah. However, in order to give malchus, in order to give misa, you first need an azhara in the Torah saying thou shalt not. Right? You have to be told you may not do this. And then, if you violate it, you can get the onesh that the Torah prescribes. Most of the time, it's not an issue. Most of the time, the azharos and the onshim are pretty clear in the Torah, right? Most of the time, it says, don't steal, right? Ein onshin elem kein mazirin. It says, don't steal, right? And then, there can be other places in the Torah where it elaborates. What happens to you if you steal, right? You guys ever learned third parak in Makkos? So there's a lot of literature dedicated to this. We see the onish, where's the azhara, right? There have to be two times in the Torah, one time where it says don't do it, it's illegal, it's usur, and the second time in the Torah where it says if you do it, you get this, or at least there's a way to be medayik what you get if you do it, right? That's the idea that we have here. So we want to know, where in the Torah does it say don't be a Ben Sora Mora? We know in the Torah where it says what you get if you're a Ben Sora Mora, right? That's Beferish, right? We start off in Parshas Kiseitze, right? The Midrashim and the Mefarshim on the Chumash point out the logical flow that exists through the first Aliyah of Parshas Kiseitze, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What's the first topic in Parshas Kiseitze? Eishes Devas Toar, right? What's the second topic? Somebody? I'm not accusing anyone of anything right now. One second. Don't take this the wrong way. However, if you do Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum on a weekly basis, you will know a lot, especially stuff like this. I am not accusing anyone here of not doing Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. I'm sure you all do it, and you're just currently forgetting, because I've been alive more years than you've been alive, so I've gotten a chance to do it more times. Right. Well, what's the next topic, I'm saying? Right, the Ben Ahuva and Ben Snua. Right? And then we lead to the Ben Soramara. So if you have an Eishes Yifas Toar, then what's going to end up is you'll have children from your real wife, and you'll have children from your Yifas Toar wife. One of them will be beloved, and the Yifas Toar will be hated. And that child can turn into a Ben Soramara. That's the logical flow that exists from there. But Lemaisa, the Torah says straight out, you have a kid, he's a Ben Sora Mora. What do you do? V'yasro, so you take him to the Beis Din, you say, B'nei Nuzeh, Sora Mora. He doesn't listen, right? He's no good, whatever. And so they warn him, which we say it gives him Malkus. He goes back, he repeats his violations, he gets Misa. That's clear in the Torah, right? So the only question that we're asking when we want to know what's the Azhara for Ben Sora Mora is, where does it say, thou shalt not be a Ben Sora Mora? Right? That's the question. It tells you the story of what happens to the Ben Sora Mora, but it doesn't actually say you may not do this. So if we just flip back to the Gemara in Samach Gimel Med Aleph, the Gemara is very clear as to what the Azhara for Ben Sora Mora is. Just for argument's sake, let's look at the entire Gemara. You guys got a chance to see this, right? So we list off, I counted, or maybe I recounted wrong, but I think I counted 6 possible violations, 5 from this Gemara and 1 from the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Amid Beis that come from this pasuk of Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. Right? Lo Sochlu Al Hadam sounds like a pasuk that's telling me nothing. Do not eat on the blood. Right? Sounds like it's not teaching me anything. I don't even know what I could possibly interpret from Lo Sochlu Al Hadam, but the Gemara has no dearth of interpretations when it comes to this particular pasuk. So we start off, we say, first of all, just this, it comes up in a tangent, because they were talking about Lav Shein Bo Maisa, and then they say, well, once we mention Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Alav, we can also bring up the topic of Lav Shein Bechlalos Ein Lokin Alav. So as we see from the following case, Minayim Ocho Min HaBehema Kodem Shetei Tei Nafsha Shubalosa Sei Talmud Lomar Lo Sochlo Al Hadam. The first one is, you're not allowed to eat an animal until it's completely dead. You're not allowed to eat from an animal until it's completely dead. We learn that from Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. So we can dray that out of that pasuk. How would you interpret the pasuk based on that? What does the pasuk mean? Right. Lo Sochlu, don't eat it, Al Hadam, while the blood is still flowing inside of it, while it's still alive. Right? Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. Right? So the life and blood are interchangeable terminologies, and therefore when it says Lo Sochlu Al Adam, it's telling you don't eat from an animal while it's still alive. Davar Acher, Lo Sochlu Al Adam, Lo Sochlu Basar V'Adayim Dam B'Mizrak. Right? What does that mean? Right? Specifically? Definitely has to do with Karbonus. What specifically does it mean? While until the blood has not yet been sprinkled, you may not eat from a korban. When it comes to the world of karbanos, those karbanos, which part of them are allowed to be eaten, the heter achila is from the zrikas adam on the mizbeach. The heter achila comes from, so they used to have mizrak, right, a sprinkler, I don't know, what, like a spoon, it almost looks like a spoon type, like a bowl on the edge of a handle. And they would use that as a sprinkling mechanism to sprinkle the blood on the corners of the mizbeach. And as you know, different korbanos get sprinkled at different places in the mizbeach. The Mishnayos and the Gemaras are very clear. Try to discuss which parts of the mizbeach, which korbanos get sprinkled where. Okay, but lemaisa, so while the blood is still in that mizrak, while the blood is still in those containers, you may not eat the korban. The heter achila for the korban is the zrikas adam. So lo sochlu al hadam. You may not eat while the blood is still in the mizrak. Okay, we get it. That's isser number 2. Number 3, Rabbi Dosa omer minayin she'en mavrin al haruge beizdin. Anybody know what that's talking about? What? Well, there's something called a Sudas Havro, right? A Sudas Havro is what? Guys, by the way, when I ask you if you did the Gemara, I meant did you actually understand what it says? You should kedai to know these things, like to find out. The first Su'udah, right? Rashi tells you a little bit what it's talking about. He says that there's a halacha that an avel should not eat his own food for the first Su'udah after the burial, right? The community should come together and provide a meal for this individual. She eat mishel acher. Happens to be, it's mutter, if you have no friends, or if for whatever reason all your friends are in a different place, so it's mutter to eat your own food if you don't have any other options. However, the Chazal say some nasty things about your neighbors if they don't actually provide a Suda Sabra for you. So even if you personally have no friends, they should make themselves your friends so that they can provide for you. But Lamaisa, there is one person for whom we're not supposed to provide, one type of an avel, and that is if his relative did not die, but was killed by the Beis Din. Let's say his relative was a Ben Sora Mora, or his relative was a Machal Shabbos Befarhestia who was killed by the Beis Din, then the person is not supposed to receive a Suda Sabra from his neighbors. And it says, Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. So we learn that out. That's a little bit harder to understand. Rashi, what? Yeah? Yeah, it sounds like you're not supposed to. Minayin she'ein mavrin al harugi beis din. You're not supposed to provide it for him. If he's an avel from harugi beis din, you're not supposed to. Right, and Rashi, based on Rashi, it sounds a little bit clearer. Right, it says Rashi, the first wide line. Al hanirtzach, it's talking, al hadam means somebody who was killed. Umisvara mukminan la harugi beis din. And there's no real reason why the word dam means harugi beis din, but like, why should we observe avelus less for somebody who was killed than somebody who died of natural causes? Meaning Nebuch, if you have a family member who, unfortunately I have one, an uncle who was killed in a holdup a bunch of years ago, there's no reason whatsoever to observe any less avelus for him than for anybody else. Right? So obviously, Misvara Rashi says, we assume it's not talking about a person who was just killed, it's talking about a person who was killed righteously, a person who was killed because that's what he deserved. So that must be Harugi Beis Din. So when a person, so you're not supposed to eat because of somebody who was killed by Beis Din. Al Onish, right? So it's talking about a person who was killed because of an Onish of Beis Din. Shelo yinagu bahem kavod mishum kapar. We don't want them to receive any kavod. And I think the last, I think there should be a comma before that last two words in Rashi. I think it's important, if you want to understand Rashi that way, to put a comma there. Why am I saying that? No, mishum kapara. Shelo yinogu behem kavod, kama, mishum kapara. Who's not getting kavod? Shelo yinogu behem kavod. Right? Meaning we don't want to give kavod to the mace by saying to the family, we respect your loss. We're saying, we don't respect your loss. This guy threw his life away, and we don't respect it. And remember, you know, we're learning Sanhedrin. Hopefully, if you don't do all of Sanhedrin, there's somebody to do some of it, right? In order to get killed by the Beis Din, you got to really want it, you know? You can't just be killed because you were a really nice guy who accidentally stepped off the derech. You know, there are people, believe it or not, you know, listen, honesty in business is one of the paramount things that the Jewish community needs to worry about. Nowadays, I think it's pushed like that, right? And it's not a kaki baltimir rabosai that like the number one thing that we need a tikkun in, you know, for working men is honesty in business, right? Being beyond reproach when it comes to how you conduct yourself in the business world, right? That's something that we have a lot of trouble with, and that's something we really, really need to work on, right? But lemaisa, I happen to know of at least one person who thought he was being honest and ended up doing some time in jail. He thought he was being honest. He messed up, or he had a partner that messed him over a little bit. He's not a dishonest man. But Lemaisa, he got audited, and they found certain illegal things. He's still not 100% clear how it happened. Again, I'm taking his word for it. Maybe I'm being naive, but Lemaisa, there are things that the government can get you for, even if you're trying to be honest. It is not so with Harugi Beis Din. Haruge Beis Din, you need Hasra. You need Kabbalah's Hasra, which as the Mishnah and the Mishnayis and the Gemaras clarify, means you say, Yodeani v'almenaskein ani oseh. I know it's illegal, I know there's an onesh, and I don't care. Right? I'm doing it. You can do whatever you want to me. I'm going to do this aver. Right? There's no ambiguity for a person who's Haruge Beis Din. Right, and you know the machlokas, we didn't do shir on the first parak last year, we did makas last year during the summer. You know the machlokas, what is Dav Zayin? I don't remember anymore. Dav Zayin, maybe a little later. Well, machlokas, how often somebody was killed in Bezin, right? So there's a machlokas, was it every 7 years, every 70 years, right? Rabbi Kiva wanted to say, never! I would have never killed anybody. All right, so they say, argued on him, they said, you'd be mar berotz can be Yisrael, but lemaisa, it's not easy to get killed in Beis Din. So we understand why this guy doesn't get any avelus. He doesn't get covered from the community. We don't want to sit down the avelim and say, we respect your laws. We don't respect your laws. But then the last line is mishum kapara. Meaning, why do we dafka disrespect their laws? Because we're spiteful? Because we're angry? No. We want it to be a kapara for the guy who received misa. Right? If we first kill the guy, and then not only do we not respect him after he died, we're mavaza him a little bit by telling the avelim, your loss is meaningless to us. That's an additional bizayon that can be a further kapara for the guy who was killed. It's a very important lesson in that, meaning that, like, yes, we killed the guy. We killed him because that's what the Torah told us to do, and which we're looking out for him. By killing him, we're actually looking out for him. Right? Ironically, the worst thing that could happen to you if you're Mechal Shabbos Befaresia is that Beis Din doesn't kill you. Because then you don't have that kapara. All you have is Chol Shabbos on your system. Right? Here, they kill the guy. They give you skila. They give you taliyah. They don't bury you in the same cemetery as other people. They're mevazi you. All the shame kapara. Right? That's the issur. So we not the issur to give a Sudas Havra to the Avelim is so that the guy who got killed by Beis Din should receive a kapara. Okay, that's an important yisod to keep in mind. All right, further in the braisa here. So how many did we do so far? We did three. Number one, you have to wait till the behemoth is dead. Number two, can't eat the carbon before Zrikas Adam. Number three, you don't send the Suda Savra to the Avelim of Haruge Beis Din. Okay, number four, Rabbi Akiva says, "Minay la Sanhedrin shahargos anevesh she'ein tom in klum kol oso hayom Talmud lo ma lo sochlu al adam." So he says, there's a flip side to this din of lo sochlu al adam that the Sanhedrin who killed the guy also can't eat a meal that day. They have to fast the day that they killed somebody. So the dam there means the same thing. You may not eat after there's been a rugi Beis Din. That's going on the members of the Beis Din itself. Number five. Azhara, right, so that's a question. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, the previous ones were Tanoim, now we have an Amor, Rabbi Yochanan. Azhara le ben Sora Mor Minayin, Talmud Lomar lo Sochlu al Hadam. Right, so this is an Azhara to ben Sora Mor, so this one is harder to understand. So Rashi helps us here, right? What does Rashi say? Right, don't eat things that will kill you, right? So it doesn't mean don't eat poison. Doesn't even mean don't eat French fries, right? It means don't eat, right? Don't eat food that the direct result will be you'll be chayav misa, right? I don't think you need the pasuk to tell you don't eat poison, right? That's ma'abedis atzmo ladas. That's a different isser, right? But to tell you don't be a ben sora mora, don't eat food, right? Because what does a ben sora mora essentially do? He steals money from his parents. He uses the money to buy a certain amount of wine, a certain amount of meat. So don't eat that food that will cause you to be chayav misa. And he's chayav misa because of that. Okay. And that was number five. Number six is not here. Number six is a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud Amud Beis. Who remembers what it is? What do we learn from Losoch Adam? Don't eat before davening, right? Don't eat before davening. Gemara in Brachas tells you, how do we know that you're not supposed to eat? So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina quotes in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, lo sochal ad shetespalel al dimchem. You should not eat until you daven for your life. Right? That's clearly not on the same madrega as these Isurim. That's most likely an asnachta derabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa that there's an isur to eat. Whatever. That's a discussion in of itself. Poshub shat is, these are dinim d'oraisa as horus min haTorah, and that's an asnachta mid derabbanan. Can you argue that it is? You can argue anything. But l'maisa, poshub shat, sounds like that's only an isur derabbanan. Okay. Fine, that's perhaps why it's just not included in that particular, in this particular brisa. Okay, so we've got the azhara for Bensora Mora, losochlu al hadam. Now, the Gemara stresses the fact that it's a lav shebchlolos. What's lav shebchlolos? Right, it's an ambiguous pasuk. What? Right, it's an ambiguous lav that we learn a lot of different rules from. So that's called a lav shebechlolos. And the rule we just said is lav shebechlolos ain lokin alav. Now, what's the obvious kasha? Kill, yeah, I get. But for starting. Right, the Yasroso tells us that you're supposed to, right, you're supposed to give a malchus. The Gemara says that beferish. You give the Ben Soramor a malchus the first time. Basically, the process is he comes to Bezin. Bezin gives a malchus. You tell him, that's just a taste of what's to come if you keep this up. And the kid says, I don't really care. And he goes back to his ways, all within a short time, all within a 3-month span, as we saw in the Mishnah, right? And the kid basically says, I'm not intimidated, I don't care, I'll do what I want. And he continues to sin. Again, not terrible sins, stealing and eating certain things, not horrible crimes, but nevertheless, he's chayav misa the second time around when he gets brought back. Yeah. Meaning, right. So that's a great question. We're going to have to answer that. I don't know if we're going to end up answering it today. But maybe tomorrow. Is that what the Malkus is? Meaning, am I describing it accurately? Is the Malkus a warning just to show that we mean Bezdin and the Misa's, you know, coming? Or no, maybe you get Malkus for the Averis that you did so far, and then you get Misa later on if you keep it up. That's a good question. So your question definitely stands as where do we have such a concept? I don't really know the answer, but the only thing I can say is the whole parsha of Ben Sora Mor is such a chiddush that it mostly doesn't relate to other cases. Right. So the Gemara has a machlokas. Is there such a has a Ben Sora Mor ever existed? Now, so there is. It is a machlokas in the Gemara, but Lamaisa, how could it have ever existed? That there's so many tanoim that have to be fulfilled in order for it to be. First of all, you have to marry someone who looks exactly like you, talks exactly like you, and whatever. I know husbands and wives who are similar, but usually they become more similar as they live together. You know, sometimes my wife always complains that she used to be nice before she met me. I don't know. I thought, you know, so I always say, you weren't as nice as you think, whatever. But I have been a bad influence on her. So Lamaisa, but the point is, we do become somewhat more similar to our spouses as we go. But so similar physically that they sound like, it's so impossible to ever see. First of all, as we'll see, the Gemara says that the parents can be mochel. Parents can be mochel on the kid being a ben sora mor. What parent wouldn't be mochel? I'm saying, Melo, you're not mochel the first time around. You want the kid to really get it. You know, you're really angry at the kid for being such a rebellious kid, so you take him to Beis Din. You know, you're a big boy, you're 13 years old already, you shouldn't have stolen, you shouldn't have done this. So, all right, give him the Malkus. You're going to take him back, knowing that he's going to get Skila? It's hard to imagine. So there's so many variables. You know, I guess if you were interesting enough of a person to marry someone who looks and sounds exactly like you, maybe you're interesting enough to want your kid. I don't know. Like, you're apparently the exception to every rule to begin with. So all right, Lamaisa, it could have happened. But the whole thing is such a chiddush that I don't know. You're right, I don't know of any other case offhand. We'll see, the Arsamech points out there is a multi-step process of Malkus and then Misa that could exist when it comes to Motzi Shemra, the cases of Motzi Shemra, but still, it's not, It's not the same parallel case. Okay, so here we have the kasha. How can we say that Jena'im Lokan Alav Shebichlos? And here you do get Malkus, right? So so the Rambam deals with this question in Sefer HaMitzvos. What does the Rambam say? Right. Meaning, this important idea that if all we had was the Lav Shebichlolos, if all we had was, so in these other cases, if you eat the korban before the Zrikas Adam, you're not going to get Malkus, because nowhere else in the Torah does it say, when you do this, you'll get Malkus. But if it already states, at least somewhat explicitly in the Torah, that if you do this, you get Malkus, or at least it says in a storytelling, in a narrative sort of way, that's the word I was looking for, in a narrative that the person gets Malkus, so then the Rambam says, in that case, Lav Shebichlolos is good enough. Right? That's the Rambam's Chiddush. And if you get a chance, the Sefer HaMitzvos, or at least if you saw in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches, right, so the Sefer HaChinuch points out, that's actually a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Right? The Ramban definitely argues on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. If you get a chance, if you have some free time, it's kedai to read that Hasagas HaRamban on that mitzvah. It's on the page in Sefer HaMitzvos if you get a chance to look. But I don't want to spend any time on what the Ramban does or does not say. Others argue that the Ramban is not saying what the Chinuch says the Ramban is saying. The Ramban is arguing a different point. But Lemaisa, the way the Chinuch describes the Ramban, is he says, a Lav Shebichlolos never leads to Malkus. There's no such thing as a Lav Shebichlolos getting Malkus. How could you argue on the Gemara? The Gemara says, Lav Shebichlolos ain't Lokin. So what do you... the Gemara said it, didn't really mean it. That's what the Rambam seems to say. The Gemara says, no. The Rambam learns the Gemara as, Lav Shebichlolos alone isn't Gori Malkus. It's not enough of an Ashara to lead to Malkus. And I just throw in a little bit of a logical spin on it. I don't know if this is really the shot in the Rambam, but the way the Rambam seems to be learning is, why isn't Alav Shebichlolos enough to give you Malkus? Yeah, but I'm saying, what does that mean? Meaning, what's the whole svara behind Einon Shnel and Kei Mazhirin? Right, meaning you didn't tell me not to do this. So you're going to give me an onesh after telling me not to do this? Mamela, I understand on my own that, like, this is not a behavior that should be done. But ad kedei kach that you're willing to put your money where your mouth is and give me an onesh? It never said, don't do this. So, Lav Shebichlolos is a little bit in between. It does kind of say, don't do this. But it doesn't actually say, don't do this. Right? It says, don't do something. Now, if you're a Lamdan, you could figure out that it means don't do this. But who says I'm such a Lamdan? Like, all right, so there are bigger Lamdanim in Klal Yisrael, there are smaller Lamdanim in Klal Yisrael. Right? Yeah. What? Okay, so he might not completely take the Eidim.
We need that Zohar and able to be master. That's what they're going to be master.
He's going to say, Lo Sochu Al Adam. Yeah, yeah, guys, whatever you say, okay? Saying, like, don't eat on the blood. I don't know. To me, don't eat on the blood means don't stand on top of a pool of blood and eat. You're going to tell me it means don't.
Yeah.
I did a kosher shchita. I did shchita. I shechted Rov Simanim, right? And I'm not eating, so you're going to say, well, by the time you get done with all the malicha, the animal's going to be dead anyway. It's not actually true. I mean, that is actually true. But, al pi halacha, it's mutter to eat dam evarim shelo pirish. Right, so this guy, he's not a big enough, he doesn't learn Sanhedrin, but he learned a lot of chulin. Right, he's a daf yomi yid, but he started already after Sanhedrin. So he's learning chulin, and he knows you're allowed to eat dam evarim shelo pirish. Right, so I'm going to eat raw meat that hasn't been salted. The rule is, nobody really cares about Hilchos Malicha. I think I just found out why you took it off the Smicha curriculum. So all right. But I happen to love Hilchos Malicha. What can I tell you?
Can you do like a Kilengrill?
What?
Can you do like a Kilengrill?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Kilengrill.
A Kilengrill. You could do a Kilengrill because that's. Maybe even better than Malicha. That's Tzliya might be better than Malicha. I'm talking about eating raw meat. Technically, it's mutter. There's three types of dam, as far as I know. There's dam sha nefesh tluyabo. There's dam ha nefesh, which means that when you shech the animal, the first major spurt, right? I guess from the carotid artery or something like that. Is this the carotid? One of these the carotid? Anybody see enough crime television shows to know? Right. So that's where I got my ideas in carotid arteries. I don't know, but when you sever the major arteries, the blood splashes out of the animal. It's kind of gross, right? You can look on YouTube. I think they posted FEMA and other anti-shechita organizations posted. You know, they made it look as gross as possible, and they posted. You know what a shechita looks like. Yeah.
Oh,
so even better, even better. But Behema Gasa, like really? All right. So, all right. So if you didn't throw up, it was probably awesome. Anyway, so the initial spurt, that if you eat that blood, you get kares, and then the rest is called dame varim shapirish v'yatzel chutz, which means that it was not the blood that was in the major arteries that was literally keeping the animal alive, but stam, it was flowing through the veins of the animal. So some, if that blood comes out, that blood, if you eat it, you get malchus, that's just a lav. And then there's dame varim shalopirish. There's blood that stays inside the animal. That's machlokes. What if it's piresh mi makom lamakom? What if it flows within the veins of the animal? Generally, we assume that all the blood in the animal that's not still there once it's done, you know, the heart is done pumping, etc., is lo piresh mi makom lamakom, and that is mutter to technically take a bite out of the meat without doing any malicha and without doing anything. That's actually mutter to eat. Blood that was inside the avarim of the animal that didn't come out and perhaps didn't even leave that area of the animal. Not if it's within the, what's it called? The veins, that's definitely usser. But if it's in the meat itself, if it's balua into the meat itself, technically it's mutter to eat that. Although some of the achronim, I think the Chavis Das, some of the achronim point out that maybe the Rambam holds this way, that once you chew the meat, the blood will be porish lechutz. So that's a different hak in the achronim, the different answers why either that isn't a problem or maybe itaka is a problem. And you have to, the only way to actually, that it's mutter to eat that meat is by cutting it into small pieces and swallowing it whole. So becomes very, very, it went from being mostly not halacha l'maisa to being really not halacha l'maisa. Okay, Lamaisa, if you're ever on a desert island, so best to be machmir and cut it into small pieces. You've discovered a kosher shechita knife, but you haven't discovered fire.
Seeing the meat like a little bit of bread.
So after you do the malicha, so then there's an additional discussion in the Rishonim. See, this is why they shouldn't have taken malicha out of the curriculum. So after you do the malicha, there's an additional hak in the Rishonim. What's the status of any redness that comes out? So the majority view in the Rishonim is that's not called blood. It's called mohel ba'alma. It's just it's meat juices. That's not called blood. If I break it down to the chemistry, maybe it's taka blood. But in halacha, it's not blood. It's irrelevant, right? And others say the Rambam has a famous shita that I think Yemenite Jews do ad hayom hazeh. You have to do what's called chalita. The mechaber in Samach Tes and Yeridei quotes it, but he doesn't paskin this way. That you have to do chalita, which you have to boil the meat before you then do. I don't know how cooked it has to get, but like you have to boil it to lock in whatever blood is still there, and then it becomes mutter to eat it. But any blood that's going to come out after that is going to be a major problem. Anybody have the time? 40? Okay. So okay, let's just wrap it up. So just getting back, I don't know, how did we get onto this? I don't even know. What? Lav shebichlol. So lo sochlu al adam, right? Still don't know what. Okay. Lamaisa, so you'll tell me that you're not allowed to eat blood. So that's the one way where you could end up eating from the animal before it's actually dead, is if you, is either you cut off a small piece and you swallow it whole, according to you're being machmir on ol hilchos malicha, you know, but you don't care if the animal is actually dead before you're eating it. Right, so that's how you could actually violate this isser. So if you call your parents today, what did you learn in shir today? Well, I learned how you could actually violate the isser of lo sochlo al adam by eating a live animal. Like, wow, I'm so glad I sent you to learn Torah. Anyway, so, what? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, technically, Torah zuva lilmud onetzrichim, as the Gemara, you know, as the Gemara says, drosha kabel schar, that's the Gemara ben Soramor, about the ben Soramor, right? Even though it's not halacha l'maisa, you should still learn it. But l'maisa, that's one way you could actually violate the sisser. Or if you're not going to be machmir for those achronim, you could take a bigger piece and... No, but they do serve raw meat in some restaurants, cut into very thin slices. It's expensive. What's it called? Tartar, right.
It comes with salmonella for free.
Right. That's, you have to pay extra for that. Anyway, so... L'maisa, there is such a dish, but I assume they do malicha on that before they serve it. Anyway, so getting back, what on earth was I actually talking about? So maybe that's the pshad, lav shebichlolos ein lokin alav, that you didn't know that the Torah really meant this, right? You didn't know the Torah really meant this. It said, lo soch lo adam. Yeah, you say that that's what it means. I'm telling you that. I kind of believe you, but I don't fully believe you that that's what the Torah really meant. It's not like it's beferish in the Torah, you may not do this maisa. You have to be medayik. You have to have learned Sanhedrin Samach Gimel in order to know what the Isser is even talking about. So, says the Rambam, okay, that's only true if all you have is that pasuk. But if you have more than that, if you have a whole parsha which tells you you're going to get Malkus, okay, so what are you going to tell me? You're going to play dumb and say, I didn't know I was going to get Malkus. It says the Torah, you're going to get Malkus. It doesn't say, thou shalt not do this. But it says, don't do something which sounds like this. And there's another section of the Torah which says, the Ben Sora Mora gets Malkus. So okay, put two and two together and figure it out. So don't tell me you didn't know. So if you say that's the pshat, Mav Shebechlalos, then the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos makes a lot of sense. So the Rambam is saying that Lav Shebechlalos is normally not good enough, but here it's definitely good enough because you have another area in the Torah which says what you're going to get. So if the other, so then Lav Shebechlalos is enough of an Azhara. That's perhaps the pshat in the Rambam. Okay. However, the Rambam is not, again, it's Kedai, we're not going to deal with it. Check out the Ramban if you have some free time. Just to summarize very quickly, we have two other Shitos in the Rishonim, the Sefer Yireim and the Yad Ramah. Sefer Yireim is Perek Reish Ayin Hei. In the, you know, it's a Rishon because Achronim would never allow there to be a Perek Reish Ayin Hey. They would do Ayin Reish Hey, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So in the Shulchan Aruch and others, they would never allow. But the Rishonim, they weren't so superstitious, I guess. They didn't care so much. So he writes that the Azhara Ben Sorah Mor is from what? Chukas Hagoyim. It's already a very, very broad topic. I don't know if you solved the problem the way I described it in the Rambam. Right? I don't know if you just solved the problem of not being clear in your Isurim. Don't do that, it's Chukas Hagoyim. Come on. Like, everything's Chukas Hagoyim. I don't know. L'maisa, he says, Leos Zolel Vesove is the way of non-Jews. It is not the way of the Jews. The Jews have a mitzvah, Kedoshim Tiyu. We're supposed to be holy people. Part of being holy people means don't be a chazer. Don't eat chazer and don't eat like a chazer. Right? Yeah.
No,
he said that's he starts it off from. Maybe next time we'll read it inside. But he says, "Siva boris shel leilach adam lechukas agayim lirdof acharei shiras libo."
Exactly the same, and between 12 and a half and 13, they.
No. So anybody who does this would be in violation of chukas agayim too. He just wouldn't eventually lead to misa. That seems to be the way. And he says the second possibility is more straight out of the Gemara. Right? So okay. So he says two possibilities. He says that's the Asaras. Oh, so he's going against the Gemara, right? So that's a good kasha. And not only that, Yad Ramah is also going against the Gemara. Right? Yad Ramah says, what's the Isser? Right? Geneva! Lo Sigzol. I'm not sure. He says, he speaks out Lo Sigzol at one point. Right? So that's a good question. Also, do you get Malkus for that? But he says that the basic two Azharas that we're dealing with, you know, according to these Rishonim, is either the Isser of stealing or the Isser of Chukas Hagoyim. So obviously the question is, the Gemara doesn't say that. It's a problem, you know, it's a fair problem. The Gemara doesn't say what they're saying. The Gemara does say what the Rambam says. So, you know, it's not fair. And the Rambam seems to be right. This is a question of, I'm learning like the Gemara, you're not. So that's a problem. And furthermore, you know, so you have some micro problems, like also maybe Xayla doesn't get Malkus. Okay, you know, that's a strong problem, but you could get out of that one. Right. It says that's the Azhara. That's not the actual Isser that you're violating. You're violating Isser Ben Sora Mora, but okay, so we're not gonna solve every problem today. So there's a Sefer, we'll save it for tomorrow, but I don't have the Sefer, I have it at home. You ever heard of the Emek Bracha? Emek Bracha is a Chashuv Sefer. He's a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Ari Leib Pomeranchik. He wrote a few Svarim. He has one, Emek Bracha, was the most famous one. He has Torah Zroim on Zroim, and he has the Yege Aryeh, just random Sugis and Shas. He answers this question, the Yege Aryeh, which is, we'll see it plays out. So if you get a chance to, you know, go over these Makars, you know, get a chance to go over it, seeing what we incorporated, and finish up the Mar Makomas. If you guys got a chance to see the Machlokes Milchas Chinuch Chor Sameach? Okay, so good. So, you know, Chazar it over, and you can start. Have an extra sheet. There are more in the base Medrash, I think. Okay, so you can start. I have Bays out there also. The Bays are quickie in terms of Mar Makomas, so we'll probably end up knocking off the rest of this one and then the second set of Mar Makomas tomorrow. And again, if you get bored and you finished everything, so maybe Kedai, just based on, and again, please don't be insulted by this, but based on how everybody was not so holding in the Makoros as we went over them, so maybe Kedai to see him a couple of times. And start the Tosos. Tosos will take you a long time, so I'll get to work on that. All right, have a great day, guys.